Well, I was recruited into the Legal Academy about 6 years ago, straight out of finishing my studies. Joined the full-time faculty at one of the 200 American ABA-accredited law schools, and it happened to be one of the few that was for-profit, which at the time didn't mean a whole lot because they were all behaving roughly the same. And the sort of student recruitment market was pretty robust. What happened in that is that over the next couple of years, the student applicant pool shrunk considerably, partly as a result of the larger economic shifts and partly as a result of specific things going on in legal services. So once that started to happen, any entities that were for profit started to behave quite a bit differently from the other law schools. So what does that mean? It meant retaliation against critical faculty. It meant curriculum overhaul, extremely sudden and abrupt curriculum overhaul. Watching things change under a more capitalist, a more kind of for-profit model in conditions of economic austerity prompted me to kind of start documenting what I was seeing.
And so what made them a problem, either for students or maybe for the profession as a whole?
Well, on the students' question, the first thing to remember is that they're paying as much or more to go there as they are to any other law school. So that's the first starting point. Not only that, but because it's a for-profit entity, student scholarships, those kind of things, discounts had to be kind of reined in, especially when the economy contracted. So to save on fixed costs, the school proprietors started to make policy choices that were very much watering down or diluting the legal education being offered. And in particular, these were billed as students destined for small-time, solo, and small firm legal practice, then these are people who are going to be working directly with clients, sometimes precarious clients, not the ones who are going to corporate law, law firm jobs.
Are these schools, are there more of them nowadays? Have they been reduced because of some of the concerns that have been out there? I mean, what's the current landscape for these schools?
It's the current landscape is approximately the same as when I started this project, with one major exception. It's fairly a narrow subset of law schools in general, but there has been one major closure of one of these six schools. And a lot of people will look to that as a kind of victory, either for the free market, you offer a defective product and your business goes out, goes under. Or a victory for regulation and say, aha, the new, Department of Education is cracking down. I argued recently in an op-ed that it's neither of these, and simply because if you look at the facts, that school closed due to its own professional negligence. It failed to file renewal paperwork in the state that it operates. And so that itself is indicative, I think, of the professional training that might be going on there.
And you also pointed out these had marketed quite heavily to minority populations. Is that a concern as well?
Yeah, majorly. That was already a problem before the student enrollment slump. Diversity rates were, on the order of 35% in some of these schools, which is higher than at other ABA schools. The problem is that once you saw the dwindling pool of applicants, the diversity rates actually shot up due to specific marketing to minority communities. So, on the one hand, you have greater diversity, and that's a good thing. You have more diverse lawyers entering the market. On the other hand, you're basically concentrating them in a sector of lesser quality education.
Despite the problems, it seems as though there is a need for something that can go beyond, I guess, traditional law schools. There are people that need maybe the flexibility that comes with that, I would guess. Is there some happy medium that can be reached?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's a really good point, one that people have been raising for some time that, the traditional model is broken. It was broken. There's no doubt about that, in the sense that it's a very high cost model and it's aimed at training students, attorneys to go into corporate law essentially as a unitary objective. There needs to be something else. And I would just point to, kind of by analogy, number one, public higher education, and secondly, community college education. More broadly, as an example where there are other ways to do it that are not for profit, essentially. Because what you're doing in this case is charging, you can imagine if there was an on-ramp onto a freeway. I come from Los Angeles, so freeways, on-ramp coming out of an underprivileged neighborhood onto the freeway. And just for that particular neighborhood and that on-ramp, you charge a toll, essentially, or an extra toll on top of the standard. That's effectively what we're talking about in terms of access to the profession, access to professional education in specifically for-profit institutions.